Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We've been doing a series on wells. And today we're going to look at the four wells of Isaac. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious everlasting God, we are so grateful for the love that you bestow upon us, for the care you show for us, for the kindness that you shower us with. We thank you for this time in your word. Let it be a blessing to us, and let us then be a blessing to those in the world. Thank you for this time together in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, we're going to look at the four wells of Isaac. I know that I probably have covered this at one point of time or the other in this program, but of course I've been doing this for several years, so it's okay if we go back over. Hopefully you will hear something you didn't hear before, or it'll bring something else to mind. But anyway, we've been doing a series on wells, how important they are in the scriptures. We talked about this, the importance of water in general, whether they be rivers or lakes or any number of things. And we talked about just from Genesis on through to Revelation. Genesis starts with him creating this world in the waters, separated from the waters. And in Revelation, it ends with the river that flows from the throne of God. So there's a lot to cover in between. And wells, especially in this culture, were very, very, very important. It was the life of people, nomadic people with herds, living in an arid place. Wells are, they are more important than gold and silver. Amen. And we talked a little bit about, most of you have never had water anywhere but from a tap. But those of us who've had to haul water, fetch water out of a well with buckets, carry it, fill it up, know how important and how much that commodity means. Anyway, so we talked last time about Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and the very first place they went to. Again, we're talking about journeys. All of these, it's amazing. Before we did a series on road trip, now I wanted to do one on wells. But again, it's about the journey, isn't it? It's about the journey. And so they came to Marah, the bitter waters, where they learned something new. They learned a new name, a new insight into Jehovah, didn't they? That he is the Lord that healeth thee. Came from waters, didn't come from physical ailments even, came from they needed healing in their heart and their soul and their mindset. Well, we're still looking at that, and today we're going to look at Isaac, the journey to victory. The four wells of Isaac and the journey to victory, okay? So we've got to cover quite a bit of territory this time, so I'm going to try my best to go fast, but you know I get stuck on things. We're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis. You knew I'd get there, Genesis chapter 26. And we're going to start with a verse that everybody quotes, and I'm going to take time to kind of go off on it for a moment, even though it isn't really about wells. Verse 12 reads, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." You can have 100-fold and not be blessed. I still want to be blessed. 100-fold and blessed him. We don't hear it quite so much now, but so many people talking about the 100-fold blessing. What created the 100-fold blessing? We all may aspire to it, but what was it? There was a famine in the land, wasn't there? There was a drought in the land. And when this happened, it had happened before, and Abraham took off for greener pastures, as many did. They would look for someplace better. Isn't this what Naomi and her husband did? They took their sons down to Moab, and that's where they got married. Ruth got married into family, da-da-da-da. But Abraham had lived in this land. There was a drought, and he went for greener pastures, quite literally. And so he went to Gerar. Anyway, but there was another famine, Abimelech called Isaac. I won't go through this whole thing. There was a famine in the land, but Isaac did not leave the land. Isaac sowed in the land. If you want to look at that scripture, that's the most important part. Isaac sowed in that land, in that very land of suffering, that very land of drought, that very land of sorrow. And that's where he received the 100-fold return. People who want a 100-fold return can't just go running for the hills when things get tough. You take what you have, you take your resources, you take your abilities, you take what God has given you and sow it right in the land where people are hurting. Amen. We are in the midst of a country and a time where people are suffering and people are struggling. Sow that goodness that you have into that land. That's where the 100-fold return is. It isn't in the taking off for better places. It's staying in that land where you've been planted and sowing into that land. Okay. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold return. The Lord blessed him. Okay, so 13 follows. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. He multiplied, didn't he? Multiplyingly multiplied. Amen? So what does that mean? Well, if he's a herdsman, that means he's going to have lots of flocks and lots of herds. And what do they need? They need food, but they also need water, don't they? So he became very great. Verse 14, for he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and the great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. When you get blessed, somebody's going to envy you. Amen. But a little group of girls, young ladies in our church in Africa, and we kind of dubbed ourselves the OOE, the Objects of Envy. We're not surprised when people envy us, amen? But anyway, so they envied him because he'd become great. Verse 15, and so this is where the wells of Isaac starts. For the wells which his father's servant, that's Abraham. Abraham's servants digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had done what? Stopped them. They plugged them up and did what? Filled them with earth, dirt. They were envious of this great man. God had blessed him and his herds multiplied. But when you multiply, you've got more troubles, don't you? More needs, more obligations. he had bigger herds, so he needed more water. So his enemies were jealous. They envied him. And what did they do? The wells that had belonged to his father, which should have been passed down to him, they plugged them up with dirt. I don't know if this is meaningful to anybody else, but let me tell you, there have been times in my life I look at where God has blessed me, and I look where I've worked hard and where I've sowed, and I look and I shake my head and I think, oh my gosh, it's like people who've just come along, or the devil has come along and just plugged up my ministry with dirt. They just have stopped it, wanted to, you know, end it. Amen. And they're plugging it up with dirt. So I remember the very first time I read this, and I was like, yeah, I get it. And there's something in us that becomes annoyed. We're not doing this for the first time. I've gotten, I don't know about you, but there have been times in life I've gotten tired of having to take the same territory over and over and over. You know, there was in the Greek mythology, there was a man that Zeus had, he was angry at him for his arrogance, for one thing, but punished, he was destined to roll a rock up a steep hill every day, and then it would roll back down, and he'd have to roll it back up the next day. And so it went on and on and on. And I know that sometimes we can feel like that. It's like, Lord, I've already covered this territory. You know, there may be things in your life that challenged you. But Lord, I won this battle already. I've done this before. There may be things in your personal life or in your, I'll say, your character that you overcame. And all of a sudden you find it back. I don't know, maybe somebody out there, you smoked and you were okay. God blessed you, delivered you from that thing. You rejoicing. And now all of a sudden, maybe all the stress of the pandemic, I don't know, but you find yourself back in that same spot and you're just annoyed with yourself. Lord, I've already been here. I've already won this battle. And now it's been stopped up with dirt. The well is that which gives life, that springs up to life. Remember Jesus talking about, out of his belly shall rivers of living water. Well, instead of that, it's been stopped up with what? With dirt and or any number of things. You know, things that either you've had struggles with or even maybe at work, you were praising God, you've gotten on a good path. Circumstances beyond your control, wham, you're back flat on your back again. You know what I'm saying? These things can occur, and it's just disheartening to find yourself back in that same place. Anyway, so that's where we're with Isaac. His father had won this turf, had dug these wells. His servants had labored. If you've ever known how to, let me tell you, digging a well, especially digging a well manually, is extremely hard labor. It's very hard work. Most of you don't even think where your water comes from. If you had to dig that out and break through the rock and haul that dirt up and empty it out and till you could actually then line it with blocks of blocks of stone so that it wouldn't just dissipate or collapse in. There's a lot that goes into it. His father had dug these wells for his flocks. And now he's coming back and he finds his enemy has been there and stopped him up with dirt. Man, it makes me annoyed, makes me angry to know that that's happened in my life. Amen? Okay, so now we come down to verse 18. Verse 18, oh, well, let's go on to 16. I'm sorry. Abimelech, that's the king, King Abimelech, said unto Isaac, go from us, for you are much mightier than we. Some people want to go move out of here because you're bigger than us. You're better than us. Some people just don't want, not realizing that Isaac's success would be Abimelech's success, wouldn't it? If Isaac had this breakthrough in this land, then all of the kings around, all of the other people around would have breakthrough too. But they're more concerned that somebody is getting ahead of them or being better than them. And that's just so much not a Christian attitude. I see so many people who become more annoyed when somebody succeeds. They're like looking for them to fail. Anyway, they're throwing dirt in their well. We can say that. Nobody else may get it, but you and I will get it. We see that situation, we say, they're throwing dirt in your well. So Abimelech said, leave. Get out of here. Verse 17, so he departed thence, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. Remember, that's where Abraham had gone and where Isaac dwelt. Okay. Verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. That's one of the things that happened. There have been marvelous things that the Spirit of God has gained and done in our earth. And now it seems as if somehow we're like going backwards. But let me tell you, it's time to dig them again. Where we had to dig those wells again. Abraham dug them. They filled them with dirt. It's time to reclaim that same territory, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about? There are some things that I feel like, well, we take, remember the old game, and you know, Mother May I, and you take one step forward and then you take two steps backwards. So you're growing in reverse, I call it. You're losing ground. But Isaac said, that's it. We're reclaiming these wells and we're going to dig them out again. I don't care how far down the line we are, how much it feels like we've lost, or how far backwards it seems we've gone. Let me tell you, we can dig those wells again. So he said to the Philistines that stopped him after the death of Abraham. They were afraid to do it while Abraham was alive, weren't they? They feared Abraham, but once he was gone, they thought all bets are off. Well, that's the way a lot of times it is. They feel leadership has crumbled, or if there's not that great movement. Let me tell you, God is still God. Amen. But they got bold, didn't they? They got bold enough to do this after Abraham's death. And he called their... Okay, so he dug again the wells that his father dug, and after the death of Abraham, and he called again their names after the names which his father had called them. This is important. This is something... Man, I've been saying it for, I know, at least 40 years, and the world has kind of come along. You know, I love it when we hear it on the street to say somebody's name. A name is more than just a tag so I can identify you. Our name carries more, and in America, we've never been real. Our names don't carry as much weight as around the world. People name their children powerful names because there's a blessing in it, you know. What you are called becomes very important. We talked about that last time when we talked about the names of God, didn't we? So if you didn't get it, go back to and listen to that again. But he called these wells. See, Abraham dug the well, but he named the well. There's power in the name. There's power in words. Words are important things. People, I remember when we were little, it used to bug me even when I was a child. I guess I always knew words would be my destiny. Remember when we were getting, we'd sing song and go, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's a lie. If I get a broken bone, I can recover that. But some of those wounds from words will go so deep down into your psyche and will even go to the second and third generation. So many of us have been told we aren't worth much because of our gender or our color or our station or our education. Those words sting, but I am a child of God. I am a princess. I'm sister to the king. My name is breakthrough, and you can't disparage me by losing my name. I know who I am. So I love it when I hear him on the street saying, say his name, because there's power in that. It's how we're identified. Every angel has a name. Every child of God knows you. What did he put in the Book of Life. He didn't put your email address. What did he put? He put your name. Your name is written in the Book of Life. Okay, well, I'm getting sidetracked. We're back on wells, not on names. Okay. But each well had a name, and there's significance in it. Remember, we're looking at a journey to victory. Okay, so he digs this first well, redug it, cleaned it out, reclaimed it. There's just a lot of territory we need to reclaim. Amen? Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now, there are two kinds of wells. I'm just giving you a little bit of Hebrew here. Two different words for well. One is a well of springing water, and one is a well that's been hand dug, a dug well versus a springing well. Okay. This one was a springing well. God had provided it. Amen. So but it had been stopped up with dirt. So you have to dig even for the things that's a spring. People say, oh, well, you know, you dig a well, but this is like a fountain. It's a springing water. It comes up on its own. But even those have to be dug out. Amen. You can't get saved. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn the blessing of God. But sometimes we got to get the dirt out of the way so that the springing up power of God, the life of God, can indwell it. Amen. Okay. So they dug this well, and he called it after the name that Abraham had called it. They digged a well in the valley, found there a well of springing water. The herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. The first well is the well of strife or contention. Strife or contention. I'm going to get you all of them, and then we're going to go back over them, okay? Then they digged another well. He didn't bother for that, did he? He just moved on. They digged another well, and they strove for that one as well, and he called the name of that one Sitna. Well, they strove for the other one, but he didn't call that one strife again. This one is Sitna, because somebody can get in your way accidentally once in a while. But if they pursue you to get in your way, that one is just downright hatred. Amen. That is hatred. That's opposition. Amen. Okay. So then they removed from thence and dug another well. And for that one, they didn't strive. So first there was Essek, which was strife or contention. Then there was another well, hatred. They followed him and wanted that one. Then the third one they didn't bother him with, and he called the name of that one. Now remember, these had already been named by Abraham. We don't pick names. We already have a name in heaven, don't we? And it doesn't really matter what mama calls you. God has a name for you and has had it for before you were born. Praise the Lord. This one was Rehoboth. So when Abraham named it, regardless of what it looked like, it stayed Rehoboth, didn't it? It stayed Essek. It stayed Sitna. And when Isaac redug them, the name stayed. We may have to dig it out again, but that name was still there. Now, most of us know Rehoboth. Rehoboth, he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. I know people love that one, and they, you know, I know some churches that when they, you know, kind of been out of rental places, et cetera, or whatever, and they build a church, and they have a big dedication service, and they say it's Rehoboth, or the Lord has made room for us, and we will be faithful or fruitful here. Whoo, and we all rejoice. But I'm going to tell you, you watch and see about that one. That one, so they went up from, okay, Rehoboth, for the Lord has made, and will be fruitful. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Now, it wasn't Beersheba, well, it was, but Beersheba. And the Lord, watch this. Okay, he went up from Beersheba. Remember that. And the Lord appeared unto Ishmael. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a question mark there for a reason. another story entirely. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night. This is to Isaac. I question mark because there's another story there about that well in Ishmael. And we may get to that before the series is over. The Lord appeared unto Isaac on the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. If you redig those places of Abraham, don't you think that the God of Abraham ain't going to find you? Amen. He said, fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you, and I will multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And what did he do? He built an altar. One of these times I'm going to do a series on he built an altar. The places where people stopped and built an altar. We don't do that so much anymore, but we need to build some altars in our life. They called the name on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Yes, they did. So the Lord appears to him, and he builds an altar. Now, there's some things that intervene. The other kings came to him, Abimelech, from Gerar and 2-3 of his buddies, and they wanted to make peace with Isaac. Now remember, they already kicked him out of there, saying, you're too great for us, move on, we're going to take this spot. But he didn't fight him, he just kept moving. Sometimes we have to learn to just keep moving, just keep moving, just keep moving. You don't have to fight every little thing, just keep moving. God has a destiny for me and for you. There's a journey. And we're going to get to our victory. Sometimes we need to learn to just keep moving. So they went and they wanted this big armistice, this oath. Remember, Abraham made an oath with them. But once he died, he stopped all his wells, didn't he? He plugged up all his wells. And there was, if you won't do us any hurt, well, we won't touch you. And if you don't do anything to us, we won't do anything to you. But we know they're already liars about that. Didn't they do that with Abraham? The only reason they wanted to make peace is because they were afraid of him because he was so much bigger. Well, he made them a feast and they ate and drank. Doesn't say that he did. He made a feast for them and I just love that, you know, just kind of go on your way. They rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another and Isaac sent them away and they departed from him in peace. Sometimes you just got to let people go in peace. Doesn't mean you're in agreement with them, but you let them go. Then. Remember they dug a well? Remember he built an altar? Remember that they haven't named it yet, have they? These men come, they want this stuff, and he said, yeah, all is well. Y'all just go on. But the Lord had appeared to him, hadn't he? And it came to pass in the day that Isaac's servant came. They left in the morning, now his servants come, and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found, wow, what a tremendous thing. We have found water. We have found life. We have found power. We have found truth. We have found sustenance. We have found water. All those things that water is in the scriptures, life and spirit. And he called it Sheba. Remember, the names are important. He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Sheba means oath. Beersheba means well of oath. Bear, well, Sheba, oath. The well of oath. And so, after they left, he did not make an oath with them, but he let them go in peace. Then they came. So this is this place where he has a covenant, a compact, a truce, a blessing, amen, from Abraham, from God. And so here we go. Man, I've been rushing so hard because I thought I'd go over time. Oh, anyway, so then they named this last well, this is the fourth well, Sheba or Beersheba, the well of oath. So let's follow his journey, okay? Remember, he comes back and out of jealousy and envy, all the people that were supposedly Abraham's besties, stop up his wells with dirt, and then when he tries to redig them, they want to fight him over it and cause trouble and everything. But I want you to trace these four wells and his journey from when he comes back and finds everything stopped up. Man, I don't know about you, but I have been places in my life where I'm just stopped up. You know, it's like, you know when you get a really bad head cold or something and your head is just stopped up and all you really want to do is just, well, let me not be too graphic because this isn't very attractive, but you just want to release all that stuff. You just want it to flow, don't you? You want it to get it out of you. You're all stopped up. So one by one, he redug the wells of his father, and he called them the very names his father called them. Now, they didn't become this necessarily for his father. So these wells literally are prophetic. There are things that have been called something in our lives, and they may not look like it now. Amen? But that doesn't mean they aren't. We redig those wells, and we find that same prophetic word coming true. There have been words that were spoken over you, maybe when you were dedicated or confirmed, that you would be a child of God, that you would find peace. You know, when your mother or father has prayed for you, laid hands on you, maybe that never happened to you, but angels have, God has, and there's been a word spoken over you. And that word will come to pass. It may not look like it now. It may look very dry and deserty because all those wells have been stopped up. But they will be unplugged, and the names that they were called, they are still called. So if God meant you to be, he said in John 10:10, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You may feel like the widow who all she's got is empty cupboards and empty vessels. She's got nothing. Amen. But God had spoken of her. And it, you know, Jesus said he's come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Maybe you're kind of teetering on that life thing and you may say, well, I've got enough to get by. But enough and an abundance are not the same. May have life and life more than abundant, more abundantly. Not just an abundant life, but a more than abundant life. I always use this example, you know, people who sort of feel like, well, God kind of doles out things, measures things. I always tell them the story of bananas, okay? Bananas grow all over the world. They don't grow up here in Ohio, well, maybe in a hothouse. But I've lived in parts of the countries. And all parts of the world, bananas grow. Bananas grow in the jungle. And let me tell you, if you think of all the bananas, you know, I just went to two or three different grocery stores this last weekend. And I just see these huge displays of bananas. And one guy was unloading them out of these boxes. And I know they come, you know, in these huge, out of these freighters with these huge amounts of bananas, and then you take, that's just one little city, and then you multiply it. How many human beings just in America are eating bananas today? Then you multiply it around the world. How many bananas are there? You think we'd be fighting over them, that there wouldn't be enough for everybody. Then stop and think of all the animals that live off bananas, and there are all kinds of monkeys and primates and apes of every sort eat them. There are other animals that eat them. There are insects that eat them. They live off these bananas. Now, stop and think about all the bananas in the world. And God made bananas so that there's enough in the jungle to feed all mankind and all the animals and all the insects and all the birds that live off of them. And there's more that fall on the floor of the jungle and rot than we will ever eat. God is a God of abundance. When I think about abundance, I think about the God of bananas. He knows that we were going to need them, but he made so many that the fact we can't even use them all. They rot, they fall down, they rot, and onto the jungle floor. So this is, you may not be living in that right now, but that's still the name of your well. Amen. Maybe, you know, whatever it was that's been prophesied over you, or whatever you believe deep in your heart is your purpose or your ministry. Amen. Okay, so now we got to get onto our wells. There were four wells, all right? And these were the ones named by Abraham. Even though Abraham named them, they got stopped up. But Isaac went back and dug them out again and called them by those same names. I want us to look at those names, because I told you this is about a journey to victory. Well, a journey, remember we did a road trip with Jesus. Journey starts in one place and moves on to another place, doesn't it? So the journey goes from one place to the other. So the first well that we see is Esek. And what did it mean? It meant strife or contention. The first victory we have to get, the first stop on our road to victory is at Esek. It's strife or contention. That internal fight you have to fight. You know what I'm saying? There's an internal fight we have to go through. Amen. And that's the very first thing we have to deal with. And a lot of people want to go on about it. It's others. No. Our first fight is within ourselves. Amen. The battle within ourselves. Anyway, so then the next one is, so the next one, we have the internal things we have to deal with. Amen. Then the next one was Sitna. And this was a different kind of strife. This was the strife that comes with hatred. The other people, you know, the first thing we have to deal with is ourselves. Anybody who comes to the Lord. And sometimes we have to go revisit that one, don't we? Because it gets stopped up with dirt. Amen? But so after that, then comes the next one. When you find people against you, people who just want to stop you. Don't really care if it stops them. They want to stop you. Amen? So that was Sitna. But then, oh, hallelujah, we come to Rehoboth. And oh, how everyone loves Rehoboth. The Lord has made room for us. Well, here's the very tricky one. Isaac dug that well. It would have been easy for him to sit back there, put his feet up, and feel vindication. Whoo, we have this well. We're going to take care of our herds and take care of our flocks. And wow, we're going to just enjoy this place. Rehoboth is the well, basically, if I can call it like that, of enjoyment. The Lord has made room for us. You know, we praise God that, you know, we maybe went through some real struggles. Some of you may still be going through those struggles. But some of us have been through that. And I got a place to live. And I got a car. And I got a job. And there's food in the freezer. And I praise him because there's plenty room for me. But what happens is then that's where people want to sit down and stick. And then get up every Sunday morning. Ooh, I praise God, because he's given me all I need. But that's not the end of the journey. Amen. That's a rest stop. We all need a rest stop, but we're not supposed to end there. That's not the destination. This is where the real victory is won. He said, I just love this. People miss it all the time. Verse 22, he said, for Rehoboth, he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. Whew. We want to do our little hallelujah dance, don't we? But look at the next verse, and. He didn't just sit down, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. He went up from that place. That's only our, let me tell you, when my own failings and shortcomings become glaring to me, I can make myself say, Lorraine, you got to do better than this. Come on. So I can deal with Esek. And I have dealt with enough other things in my life. I know when, see, I've got that prods me to go forward. Well, you know, sitna, when you've got opposition, when you have people working against you, man, I can rise up to that. I can walk in love. I can stay focused. I can keep moving. I got no problem there. But when everything is sunny and everything is beautiful and everything is pleasant, to say, okay, but now I'm going to get up anyway. I don't have to. There's nothing inside sparking me. There's nothing outside sparking me. This is nothing, but I choose to go on from this place. Too many Christians get stuck at Rehoboth. It says, he called it that. He said, we're going to be fruitful in the land. And that's a good thing. He said, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. If you're going to memorize any verses, don't memorize he's made room for us, or don't memorize, you know, the hundredfold return. Memorize verse 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. If you're sitting in comfort, you can praise God, but it's time to get up from that place. Amen. So, and when he did, what happened? The Lord appeared to him. We can cry and whine and be unhappy because we don't get a word from the Lord. And the Lord doesn't appear to me, and I don't know what's going on. We need to sometimes just get up and go where we ought to be, not where we want to be. Amen. There's an old song by Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. So I'm talking rock and roll here. I'm not talking Holy Ghost. But there's a line in it that even when I was young and unsaved spoke to me. It was the year before I came to the Lord fully. And I remember this line from one of the songs. Though you're where you want to be, you're not where you belong. Oh, man, doesn't that speak to us? That's a spiritual truth. Though you're where you want to be, I want to be in Rehoboth. I want where there's plenty of room for me and all, I'm going to be fruitful. But though you're where you want to be, you're not where you belong. You belong on that road. Move on, move on. Not because you have to. Nothing's forcing you to. You do it by choice. You do it by will. Amen? So then he went on to Beersheba. And when he did, that's when the Lord appeared. If there's an absence sometimes of the Lord appearing to us, maybe it's because we've gotten too comfortable. Ooh. Maybe we've gotten too settled. Ooh. Maybe we need to get up and move on. And then the Lord appeared to him. And that's where he met the Lord. And that's where there was an oath. There was a covenant, a compact, an agreement, a promise between God and Isaac and Isaac's children and his children's children from that point on, because he knew how to fight those internal demons. He knew how to fight those external demons. He knew how to fight comfort and ease, and he knew how to keep pursuing. If you keep pursuing God, let me tell you, God will pursue you without a doubt. And he became the great, we don't often, when we talk of the great forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, Abraham was so larger than life, and Jacob, Israel, was so larger than life, that we forget sometimes about Isaac. But you may be a quieter soul, you may be a little bit more, say, invisible soul, that does not mean you are any the less more the potential of the patriarchs. There were patriarchs of every kind. Amen? So there were four wells of Isaac, and his journey to victory came from fighting those internal fights, fighting those external fights, and then fighting the battle of comfort and ease to get on to that place of spirituality. We especially live in a country culture. The American culture is so absorbed with comfort and ease and entertainment. Everybody was fine with the pandemic staying in until it got to be summertime, and man, everybody wanted to go out and party and go to the beach and go to the bar and go here, go to the fair, go everywhere. You know, it just, well, I won't say more, but because there are people who even took the place of the Lord that way and endangered others because it was more about, but they just gotta be together. Well, you know, tell it to David in the cave of Adullam. Tell it to John the Baptist, you know, when he was there. There are times you can be alone with God and it's more than enough. Anyway, this was his journey to victory from Essek to Sitna to Rehoboth to Beersheba. Hallelujah. And my prayer is that you may find yourself on that same journey. Isaac had four wells. He became great in the land, but more than that, he had a covenant with God. God appeared to him and made a covenant with him. Until today, we are living off the goodness of that, of the four wells of Isaac. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all your goodness, for all your kindness to us. Help us see the pathway of our journey. Help us become victorious to the blessing of others. Thank you for all these things. Thank you for our time together in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Looking forward to being with you again next week.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found